This is your go-to podcast dedicated to getting the exclusive scoop from the industry's top influencers that are helping to shape the cybersecurity, audit, and IT governance landscape. Tune in as we dig deep and learn their motivators, explore their industry journey, and investigate their ideas and predictions on what the future holds. This is Isaka's Cyber Pros. Welcome to the show. And now, your Cyber Pros, Dustin Brewer and Frank Downs.
Hey, buddy. How you doing? How's your week?
It's been pretty good. I'm on the road, seeing some family.
That's good. I'm still stuck at the house reading things that make me angry.
What makes you angry?
That's the best way to put it. But this week I was reading an article, and it's from The Economist. And I really like The Economist. It gives some pretty thoughtful stuff usually. And I'm not saying this isn't thoughtful, but I am saying it did put me into a bit of a rage. Where the title of it was a huge long briefing. Ransomware highlights the challenges and subtleties of cybersecurity. And it reminded me of a discussion that you and I have like all the time, right? Where in cybersecurity, people don't really know what it means or what it is or what it does, right? And as a result, you get all these different perceptions. You get all these different perceptions of what they think cyber is, not even what it is or what they know or what they've heard. It's like what they think cyber is. Like, I know you've had a lot of weird experiences, but the one, like, everyone has one of those, if they've been in cyber for a while, has one of those defining moments when they're like, oh no, you don't know what we're talking about, and you don't care to understand either, kind of things, right? Like, I remember when I was on site on one of our engagements in the past, and we were talking to, I think it was a lieutenant colonel, and we were trying to explain to them what was wrong with the actual setup that was being implemented and so forth. And he just looked at us and goes, well, you just go ahead and throw your chicken bones and tell me what you think you're seeing, and then I'll figure out the actual truth of things. And I was like, man, come on. Come on. And I mean, because it was like, when you have a response
like
that.
This is a science, sir. This is like science.
We are people of science. And it just drove me nuts, because it was from that second on, I knew this guy doesn't care anything I'm about to say. He's going to sit here. He's going to listen. He's going to be like, all right, now I'm going to go do this. And it's frustrating. And some of that, I think, is kind of reflected here in this article. And I kind of like had one of those flashbacks. The part that that really kind of drove me nuts was, I'll just read it to you because it's better than I could try. It's like a paragraph here.
Real quick, when most people have flashbacks to their time in like the DOD or in the military, it's not like flashbacks to like having to explain cybersecurity to an officer. It's like,
I did have to explain cybersecurity to this guy while under rocket attack. So I don't know if that counts. Maybe
that counts.
How you get that core memory, right? So that's the worst thing to be doing during rocket attacks too. What do you do? What'd you do? Did you protect anything? No, I was explaining cyber to some officers. So they label cybersecurity kind of like a poison pill. And it goes, the report's subtitle, "Is Cybersecurity the New Market for Lemons?" echoes a famous analyst of the effect of asymmetric information on the secondhand car market. George Akerlof, an economist, argued that since buyers cannot reliably identify high-quality secondhand cars, they'll be unwilling to pay high prices. The sellers of good cars are thus driven out of the market, ceding the field to those selling cheaper or shoddy, quote, lemons. It goes on and says that people start to think that cybersecurity is the same thing. It's got the same similar asymmetry, right? That people are going around saying things like, quote, buy my magic amulet and you'll be fine, and making it hard for buyers to pick effective defenses against the dark arts out there, out of the dross, and they know it. Almost none of the bosses at certain security organizations could agree on how to measure the effectiveness of software they were buying, which, by the way, that was where I just really kind of lost it. There are several different mechanisms through which you can assess the effectiveness of your cybersecurity plan, your cybersecurity tools, your controls, and software. And I think that's something that we're seeing on the rise, especially in the field writ large. But this is reflective right here of what we see a lot in the field of cybersecurity, right? That cybersecurity is just viewed as like, oh, wait, where is it? My favorite one, when they came up to us and they go, oh, what's Magic Brick do, right? With the phones, because people view them as magic bricks and so forth in cybersecurity. And changing this perception is, instead of getting easier, becoming a bit more difficult as we're seeing high profile attacks, right? How everyone has this idea that cyber's not my favorite is cyber's not real, right? That cyber's not real. It's just, you know, security. It's just security. It's not real. And the cyber's not even a good term. How many times have you and I heard that cyber as a term is just going to disappear one day?
Oh yeah.
Right?
Cybersecurity is going to disappear one day because AI is going to take over, right?
Right. Oh yeah. All the robots are going to do our jobs. So easy. So good. And what we're seeing is this growing perception of that, you know, cybersecurity is if people are going to support it, they're seeing a growing trend that people support cybersecurity one, if they've been attacked, they're like, well, I guess I should have done something. Right. But outside of that, it is a leftover. Okay. Maybe we can get some funding to maybe do something. Right. And unless there's an external force propelling people to do cybersecurity or have it implemented within their organization, I'm still seeing this trend of, and this doesn't help things like this, where people don't view it as a priority and they don't think it's real. And it kind of just kind of threw me off because if anything should be clear at this point, it's that it is, right?
I hope so. I mean, okay. I guess you've had more experiences where people have, you know, tried to, you know, make claims such as cybersecurity or is snake oil or fake or, you know, not even existent or whatever they think it is. But usually what I see in the news is kind of this, you know, we need to get better at it. We don't like, maybe it's not existent or it doesn't, you know, it's just not being done well, which I agree with. I still don't think that, you know, C-suite level executives are taking it seriously enough to give it the funding that it truly needs. You know, one of the things I've been hearing a lot about is cybersecurity insurance, cyber insurance, as well as ransomware insurance, right?
Yes.
Which I think is great. It's definitely a way to mitigate or to transfer the risk or to mitigate it somehow. But you still should probably try to prevent those things from happening. And depending on, you know, how much the policy is, maybe that money might be better spent in just like stopping the ransomware from being able to placed on the network to begin with. So, and, you know, but it's risk appetite. There's balances that kind of, you know, we're talking about risk now, but like there are balances obviously that come into play here. And I don't know. I really hate when, I'm with you. I really hate when people try to, parallel cybersecurity to really old industries, like the automotive industry, right?
It's cybersecurity apparently is a used car now,
right? It's like a used car. It's like this. It's like no, it's not anything like that. And you know, maybe it's just its own thing. You know, maybe it's just this new industry, and it is. It definitely has taken part, and we talk about this a lot. How like cybersecurity is kind of a conglomeration of, you know, I don't want anybody to get mad at me, but you know, there's some IT audit involved in cybersecurity.
I'm living now. You just said IT audit. What? I'm kidding. No, IT audit is great.
But I apologize to all the IT auditors out there who don't think that it is, but there is quite a bit of auditing that goes into, you know, cybersecurity practices, specifically, you know, log aggregation and correlation. And I know it's different from compliance. There's, you know, obviously there's different things there too, but
these all sound like great cybersecurity controls though, that you're listing off.
Yeah. There's, you know, there's incident response, there's forensics, there's all these things that we all, you know, if you've been in the industry for more than 10, 15 years, it wasn't called cybersecurity when you got into it, it was called something else.
Right.
Network security, you know, endpoint security, we wouldn't have called it that back then. I just can't remember what it was called. Just computer security or something like that, or physical security.
Or information security.
Information security, right? Yeah, it's a big one, right? That's the all-encompassing one that Frank and I, and as well as Shannon Donahue, have had some very interesting conversations.
Long talks.
How much cybersecurity is part of information security or vice versa. And I think I'm usually the lone person in that conversation.
Doesn't mean I don't love you. I'm just saying things can be part of. Doesn't mean I don't love you. I'm just saying certain things can
look
different from different ways.
100%. Yeah, Frank and I disagree on things. It's very rare.
It's part of a healthy relationship that happens sometimes. Yeah,
it is. It's part of our friendship for sure. But yeah. So you know, we have all these things, and I don't mean to say that you can't compare cybersecurity to like anything, but I think the automotive industry might be, it's like saying manufacturing, right? Which is like, right. Well, we're kind of in a totally different thing. And I get what he was trying to do. He was trying to equate it to something because that's kind of how you explain things to people who don't quite understand cybersecurity. And it sounds like, and you might disagree with me. I haven't read the article. You might disagree with me. I feel like the author probably does actually know what cybersecurity is. it's interesting. I do feel like the term gets thrown around a lot. And I also feel like people try to brand things as cybersecurity because it is the sexy new, the new word. And, right. Then we have all these even sexier words within cybersecurity, like zero trust and blockchain. People love to throw those terminologies around as well. When they're talking about things, they're like, yeah, blockchain's going to be big in cybersecurity. It's like, okay, yeah. I don't necessarily disagree with that. But how can you?
This is a very big thing to say. Very, very.
Yeah, can you extrapolate or dive into that a little bit more for me? I really want to know what you're trying to say here. So yeah, no, I'm with you. I think that it's really hard. It's hard to explain things sometimes, and people make these parallels that aren't necessarily 100%. Like for someone who is an SME in cybersecurity, might be like, that's not right. How I would have explained it, but maybe it does help. I don't know. Maybe it does help layman.
Some have got to help sooner or later because the problem's getting worse, right? You're seeing a compounding of the issue. Things like articles like this, I mean, hopefully they're doing more good than harm, but it's not changing the fact that things are getting worse. I think what we're seeing right now is a combination of things are getting better, but also showing how terrible the situation is. And I'll see this sometimes with clients. I'm not naming names or anything like that, but throughout our career, and you've probably seen this too, when you've worked with different organizations where they go, we're fine. We haven't had an incident at all. We don't need anything here. And you know what I'm going to say, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anything that you know of, right? Usually those are the most frightening organizations because they're like, everything's fine. I've had no problems. Why are you even here? It's like, well, the fact that you don't even know that what is probably the situation is probably that you don't know, right? What's happening and what's leaving your organization and all that information. But the fact that I was talking to someone the other day, they're like, wow, it feels like all these big hacks are happening all at once. I said, well, there's an increase with ransomware, but the other ones, right, like the SolarWinds and so forth, you could almost argue that this is just stuff that we haven't noticed until now. And the good news is we're finally noticing it. The bad news is it's really bad, right? And the response problem, we're not going to be able to effectively respond to so much of this until we can actually address the talent issue, right? I mean, this is a long-term problem. The problem's going to get worse. And you're seeing mitigation factors happening all the time. For example, the rise of MSSP, right, over the last 10 years. That is, an organization saying, I can't do it. I can't do it. And it makes a lot of sense, right? And, being someone who works at an MSSP provider as one of the things they hand out, it makes a lot of sense. How it's so expensive to staff up, to make your own SOC, right? It's so expensive to say, if I'm looking at an organization, right? And you go, okay, I need to develop my own SOC here. I need to actually, I'll start with just a cyber team. And you can say like a mid-sized organization needs probably on average at least five people who can do cyber, right? And if you look at that with the average starting salary or with the not starting salary, but we'll say the average middle salary is at least 100K if for someone who's been in for 5 years or more, depending on your, again, there's a lot of caveats there, but here in the States, if you got 5 years of experience and you have several credentials, things along those lines, you're looking at the 90s to like 110, according to CyberSeek and other data points out there. Okay. I'm not saying this is worldwide. I'm just telling you what it is right now. So let's cut it in the middle and say 100. You can either go for $500,000 bill plus benefits, right? And then also the pain of finding these people, paying through HR, keeping these people happy, retention, right. Or you can go to an MSSP and say, okay, I'll pay you a couple hundred grand each year. Keep an eye on things for me, right? Because right. That's how bad. I mean, and that is a direct reflection. ISOC has got a great report we put out every year, the state of cybersecurity, right? And it's getting worse, right?
Yeah.
People are robbing Peter to pay Paul with these people. And the until that's addressed, and that's a long-term issue, you're going to continue to see things like this and misunderstanding like this. Not only doesn't help, but it makes the situation worse.
Absolutely. And thank you for mentioning that, Frank. The State of Cybersecurity 2021 is actually out and available for download at isocka.org. So
and it's a good one.
It is a good one. John Brandt, our internal cyber information security SME, was spearheading the development of that paper, and he always does a great job with it. So we're really pleased with it. But you know, to your point, I think you know, I've been trying to figure out how to like phrase this analogy in my head for the longest time, where it's like for the longest time. There was business, right? And business, you would sell a product, you would sell a service, you would do, you know, the business things, right? IT and digitization of records and you know, of messages and of communications all came along. And it, for a really long time, it was business utilized IT in order to conduct business.
Mm-hmm.
Now the business is more and more becoming digitized with everything. Even running a local restaurant, you still have to deal with vendors digitally. You still hopefully are doing some kind of advertising digitally. You know, everything is now digitized, and it's no longer IT is in the room with business. Business is now in the room with IT. Now, right. With that, and I know I'm getting eye rolls at home.
You're going to get so much hate mail, but I'm just glad it's directed at you, not me.
Yeah, that's right. Send it to Frank Downs at
Twitter handle is I don't even know if you have Twitter.
I don't know if I have one. Yeah. So with that, of course, comes cybersecurity. Right now, we have this new requirement to conduct business in modern day, you know, society. And with that comes, oh, now we have to worry about security, just like when you would have an establishment, and you would need physical security of some type, right? Not, you know, whether it was an alarm or whatever, you know, it's the same thing. It's now we need to make sure that we are conveying to our senior leadership that the funding that's needed for cybersecurity is an incredibly important part of just conducting business today. That's just the cost of doing business now. It's another thing. Yes, it's another cost for something else, but guess what? You got to pay it or you're going to get hacked, and then you're going to lose clients, and you're going to you know, I mean, there's all kinds of things that can happen, right? Or maybe you won't lose clients. I don't know if Colonial Pipeline is necessarily hurting. It looks like they've recovered most of their losings, the whole thing, most of their ransom. Right.
We're going to have to wait for the crypto market to recover though. So there's that.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. What they paid is not necessarily
not what they got back.
And not what they got back. It's so funny. Oh, crypto. But yeah, so I think it's being able to convey that idea to the senior leadership that is really the hard thing to do, because with cybersecurity, a lot of us are tech people, right?
Right.
You know, we see that in the State of Cyber 2020, soft skills was one of the main things that, you know, was really lacking with cybersecurity personnel. And I get it. You know, most of these folks, men and women, are engineer types, and they like to sit there and they love to dive into the packets, and they love to, you know, look at snort alerts or look at their IDS alerts, and they love to conduct forensics. But, you know, when it comes to trying to convey that to, you know, to the CEO or even CISO, like that might be a really hard thing for them to do. So on the one side, yes, business needs to learn that they're not the only ones in the room anymore. Now IT's in the room. And with that, along comes cybersecurity. IT needs to learn that you are now part of business on a level that you used to not be part of this business. And so you need to learn how to communicate properly with the folks in business. You need to, because if you don't, you're not going to get the funding you need. And if you don't get the funding you need, then, well, first of all, you're not going to get paid. Maybe just not paid what you're supposed to, what you should be getting paid, right? And number two, you're not going to have the resources to properly defend a network or properly defend digital assets. And that's really what it comes down to. So it, you know, of course, everything with Dustin comes down to kumbaya. We all need to work together, right? But that it's true. I mean, things go better when we work together. When we truly attempt to understand each other and make sure that, you know, we're really trying to speak each other's language, or at least making an attempt to learn each other's language. You know, that's when the doors really open and things really, really get done and start syncing up.
I agree. I do love this kumbaya future You have painted for us, Dustin, despite we're still inevitably headed to dystopia.
Of course. So. The zombie apocalypse will happen. But, you know, we can still have, you know, we can still get along before it does. It
doesn't. Well, I agree. But until we do get along, until that day where all of a sudden everything comes together and we're all kumbayaing, it's interesting to see what's happening. Because you brought up something, you brought up a very interesting point that we kind of just went past quickly, and that was insurance, right? Because yes. Now you're seeing these external factors, right? These for example, well, you now, if you want to seek out funding in a seed round or so forth, more often than not, those things are going to start coming with a lot of strings attached to them. Mm-hmm. And one of them is often or not a cyber assessment evaluation, understanding the competence of the cyber. I mean, because let's be honest, organizations and companies don't want to invest millions of dollars into these startups and so forth if they're just going to lose it because they fell victim to ransomware. And it's also interesting because as we see that, that's also becoming a requirement for insurance organizations as well. Hey, you want some kind of insurance through us? Well, we have to make sure that you're not just operating free and open in the wind, right? Because you have two different narratives that are at play right now, where you have, for example, governments like the US government saying, don't pay the terrorists, right? Don't pay the cyber criminals. Whereas you then look at a case like Baltimore City, where they said, okay, we won't. And I can't remember what the criminals were asking for. I want to say it was like a couple hundred thousand, maybe a million at the most.
Yeah,
but, I think you're right. What resulted in them not paying was like a over $10 million complete rehaul of their cybersecurity and infrastructure. So if you're an insurance company, you're like, yeah, okay, I get they're saying don't pay it, but we think you should pay it compared to what the actual cost is going to be. So it's really interesting to see these two different, these external forces trying to, you know, all with the same goal of making a safer cybersecurity area, experience operating thing for private and public entities. But at the same time, you're seeing totally different ways of going about it.
I did, two webinars recently, one for IEEE and one for ISACA. And we talked about the Colonial Pipeline attack. And, you know, I asked the question, I was like, if you were, you know, the CEO, would you have paid? And, you know, it was one of my polling questions. And the answer were yes, no, or no opinion. First of all, I was incredibly surprised that there was like at least 10 to 20% who said no opinion.
I feel like that's just the fear instinct kicking in.
Yes.
No opinion. Get it away.
Right. We're cyber folk, right? We have opinions about everything that has to do with cyber. But right. When I was talking about it, I was like, wow, like I can't believe the 10% of you said you didn't have an opinion. I was like, but at the same time, I don't blame you for not having an opinion because how do you know what you're going to do in that situation, right?
Right.
Was it a mistake for the CEO to pay? It doesn't appear to be one anymore, if it ever did appear to be one in the past, right? Like, because they did the recovery, and the FBI, we don't know what happened behind closed doors. The FBI might have been like, hey, go ahead and pay this. Don't worry, we got you covered, because they knew they were going to be able to recover it, right? So you don't know what you're going to act like, how you're going to act in that situation. That being said, one thing that can help you with knowing how you're going to act in that situation is tabletop exercises, right? Conducting cybersecurity exercises where it's like, okay, we get hit by ransomware in our IT system.
Right.
What do we do? Do we shut down the OT system? Do we pay the ransomware? Do we pay for, you know, how much are we willing to pay? Having the right people in the room to have those discussions and talking about that and having that documentation for that, you know, what's our plan? What's our, you know, pulling out at this point, it might be a business continuity plan, even like not necessarily a natural disaster happened or, you know, any kind of disaster like that, but some of your systems have been compromised. How do you continue to conduct business when that happens? Having those discussions, having the right people in the rooms from the CEO all the way down to lowly, you know, Dustin Brewer and Frank Downs in your sock, right?
We're in your sock. Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Oh yeah, if we're no work's getting done. That's for sure. No, but yeah, having those right people in the room, making sure that that you're having these open discussions, that you're documenting these open discussions, and that, you know, it will prevent these knee-jerk reactions that keep happening. Now, again, we don't know if the Colonial Pipeline thing was a knee-jerk reaction. It still kind of looks like it from the outside. But we're still waiting to hear data on it, and, you know, they're still conducting their internal investigations. However, you know, there were some documents that came out that they actually had an external audit done 3 years previously, in which they pointed out numerous issues with their cybersecurity and with their information security. So, you know, with that data in hand, it's kind of easy to see that they kind of took that with a grain of salt. Okay, thank you. They took it with as a grain of salt, and they took it with a grain of salt, and didn't really do much with it, apparently, right? Or right. It would appear so. So it's going to be really interesting to see how that unfolds. But in the meantime, you know, that's another good way to get your CEO involved with the discussions of 100%. Cybersecurity, right? Like, because it's going to come down to him or her when these cyber incidents happen, these events / incidents happen, whatever it becomes, like that they might have to make that decision. And of course, the, you know, in the webinars, people were like, there were a lot of people who were like, yes, I think it was a mistake that they paid the ransomware. No, you know, it was kind of 50-50. It was very, very spread out in a lot of those questions. And I get it, because how do you know, how do you know what you would do in that situation unless you've talked about it, unless you've gone through these exercises. So that's another important part of, you know, and that's another thing that people forget about cyber, like going back to the original thing that we started talking about, which was like, you know, do people really understand cybersecurity? Can you compare it to a used car lot? yes and no, right? I think there's a lot of things that we're still learning about cybersecurity every day. It's an ever-evolving industry. And as maddening as that is, it's also incredibly interesting, and I love it.
I do too. And I'm going to tell you the second flashback I had today just now when you said we should not be in your sock. And I was trying to remember, when's the last time you and I were both in a sock together? And do you remember when that was?
2012.
Yup. Yeah. When we were pointing out a security control being broken at the time.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Fun times. Not, I mean, kind of. I had fun with you. That was fun. You know. But yeah. And that was the last time Frank and Dustin were allowed in socks.
That's right.
We were like, hey, that's not a good control. And the NSA didn't let us back in. So, okay.
They kicked us out and we were like, where are we going to go?
Where are we going to that one?
Socka. No.
That sounds terrible. We didn't get kicked out. We left of our own accord. There were a lot of people that did get kicked out though. And they were right to be kicked out. Kind of wish they had kicked out that one guy a bit sooner, but hey, you know.
Yeah. Here we are talking in cryptic languages.
Cryptic
now.
Language on podcasts. Anyway, so yeah, I think you're right there. I think the key is communication. And anyone who takes the time to do tabletop exercises clearly gives a heck to keep this kosher, right? They really care. They really care about what's going to happen and so forth. And showing that initial, that's also helpful, like with insurance claims and so forth, because a lot of times these insurance claims now want to see, you know, it's not enough that something bad happened, but did you try to prep for this? Fun point for you CIOs and CTOs out there. It'll also help you keep your job. It'll also help you keep your job. If you show that you prepped and you tried to protect, and even better, if you do here we go, another ISOCA plug. If you did a cyber maturity assessment, one of which you can, get from many organizations, but you can only get with the incredible CCP tool through ISOCA. If you do a cyber maturity assessment and show that, hey, this is a risk, and you've formally documented that, that'll also really help you keep your job, because it may not have been acted on, but you told people about it. So there you go. That's one of my friends. He works for a DoD contractor. And he goes, yeah, well, we had a huge issue at work today. I'm like, oh, man, is that bad for you? He goes, no, because I told him about it, that it might happen 3 months ago. So I'm good, right?
Yeah.
So doing these kind of preventative efforts are really going to help no matter how you want to cut it.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, I saw a great talk by from Charlene Watson. Is that right?
I love her. Yeah.
Yeah,
she's a ISOCA member. Great ISOCA member.
ISOCA member. She, I was watching her give a talk at, I think it was NACACS, on how she'll put together a document of like the different controls when she goes through and does an audit, and shows the, and basically, you know, takes all the issues that she found, puts them on a separate document, and then says, here's what you need to fix. And if they're like, well, we're not going to fix that, she goes, okay, just sign right here to let, you know, to let me know that, you know, you saw that. And she's like, they get, you know, at that point, they're like, well, wait. So what are we talking about here? Like, they get more interested in like what it is. Cause then it's like, oh, nope, this is now off me. This is now on you. And of course, placing that responsibility, it shouldn't have to be like that, but it is in a lot of respects. Right. So I thought that was a very genius. I was like, oh yeah, it's such a great idea to like, okay, well, you know, I told you about this and I just need you to sign right here that says that I did tell you about this. And you know, if anything comes up. So, I mean, there's all kinds of different things you can do, to try to communicate better. And that's really like, I know we kind of got off theme here a little bit, but that, you know, it all comes down to communication. We all have to learn to speak each other's languages, and we all have to make sure that, we're conveying our ideas properly. Not just the ideas, but the issues at hand. Right. And, you know, hey, look, you know, we have this Windows 7 box. It hasn't been patched. Yeah, it's running a proprietary piece of software, but it is open to Eternal Blue, which is what is how the WannaCry ransomware is installed on, you know, computers. And if that's able to be installed on that computer, then, you know, we have, okay, let's talk about this. What controls do we have? And then, you know, going from there and being able to, you know, convey that and that wasn't even that technical, but that's still too technical for a CEO, most likely, right?
Right.
Being able to convey that, like, hey, we have a vulnerability. Or there is a risk here. You know, they CEOs usually understand things like risks. So being able to speak that kind of language is really important, I think, for the future of cybersecurity, as well as the future of business.
Thank you for joining us today for this episode with our cyber pros, Dustin and Frank. We hope you enjoyed this podcast. To listen to more podcasts from Isaka, please visit isaka.org/podcast. Don't forget to subscribe for upcoming episodes.